a tendency that happens naturally once we begin to think authentically. It's what our bodies want to do. It's thought itself that was negated when power suppressed our true selves. But because this gift is natural in us, we all tend toward it. It brings us together when we do it, when we seek to be what we are authentically. That's why we're drawn to people like Prince, who can only be what they are. We want that for ourselves as well. Nicola had as difficult a time as any of us underclass recovering himself. But as Alice Miller points out, once we do recover our self that is true, or we're fortunate never to lose it, as with Prince, we will not relinquish it. And a true self that thinks authentically is absolutely needed in this time of transition back to what is whole and healthy. With Proudhon and Kropotkin, Nicola must necessarily get us to look at what the earth is in itself as it is authentically, not through the lens of the conditioning we receive from those who want to own it, and to own most particularly us, for we are the energy on which their false world runs. We receive the energy of the sun and transform it. And here is a quote from his paper, How to Increase. It's called The Third Problem, How to Increase the Force Accelerating the Human Mass, the Harnessing of the Sun's Energy. Quote, But looking at all this busy world about us, on all this complex mass as it daily throbs and moves, what is it but an immense clockwork driven by a spring? In the morning, when we rise, we cannot fail to note that all the objects about us are manufactured by machinery. The water we use is lifted by steam power. The trains bring our breakfast from distant lands. The elevators in our dwelling and in our office building, the cars that carry us there, all are driven by power. In all our daily errands and in our very life pursuit, we depend upon it. All the objects we see tell us of it. And when we return to our machine-made dwelling at night, lest we should forget it, all the material comforts of our home, our cheering stove and lamp, remind us how much we depend on power. And when there is an accidental stoppage of the machinery, when the city is snowbound, or the life-sustaining movement otherwise temporarily arrested, we are affrighted to realize how impossible it would be for us to live the life we live without motive power. Motive power means work, to increase the force accelerating human movement means, therefore, to perform more work. So we find that the three possible solutions of the great problem of increasing human energy are answered by the three words, food, peace, work. Many a year I have thought and pondered, lost myself in speculations and theories, considering man as a mass moved by a force, viewing his inexplicable movement in the light of a mechanical one, and applying the simple principles of mechanics to the analysis of the same, until I arrived at these solutions, only to realize that they were taught to me in my early childhood. These three words, food, peace, work, sound the keynotes of the Christian religion. Their scientific meaning and purpose are now clear to me. Food, to increase the mass, peace, to diminish the retarding force, and work, to increase the force, accelerating human movement. And I think it is, just to interject a moment, I think it is very clear to all of us that the retarding force is power, organized global power, determined to stay on top of what they see as a competition. And I want to interject as well that when we consult the People's Lexicon, we're going to have to do a little bit of rectification with Nicholas terms, harmonization with Nicholas. For instance, with his term human movement, I am assuming we agree that it implies unencumbered movement, implies free. Given that the movement of humans underclass is anything but free, the goal we must, as living things, necessarily seek is our freedom. Further, his focus on efficiency of effort mirrors or parallels Kropotkin's discussion of the economicalness of freedom. Coercion, as we said, comes at the cost of enormous energy loss, results in hideous waste and suffering, but its pain is disproportionately placed all on us and the earth, and none on the power guys, whose terms for addressing the mess caused by them disallow, preclude authentic solutions, which means us off leash, coming up with them. Continuing. These are the only three solutions which are possible of that great problem, and all of them have but one object, one end, namely to increase human energy. And I comment, were we to sit and discuss with him, he could not help but agree that under conditions of power imposed, hobbling of our energy, the only way for us to increase it is to free it. Can we all agree on this? If so, then we have to work together for a global stoppage of this insane mess. I mean, otherwise, we are complicit once we really understand what he just said. Continuing, when we recognize this, we cannot help wondering how profoundly wise and scientific and how immensely practical the Christian religion is. And I have to say, me commenting, that Islam too stresses that we are all brothers and sisters, i.e., Islam too is energy efficient, no indulging in the waste of hate. Continuing, work, untiring effort, useful and accumulative, with periods of rest and recuperation, aiming at higher efficiency, and I say here again, only under conditions of non-coercion is this possible, continuing, is its chief and ever-recurring command. Thus, we are inspired by Christianity and science to do our utmost toward increasing the performance, and I would say the freedom of mankind. And that is Nikola Tesla from his paper, The Third Problem, How to Increase the Force Accelerating the Human Mass, the Harnessing of the Sun's Energy. Here with Tesla is another illustration for us of how, in order to contribute one's tireless energy to fulfill our humanness, we must reacquire our authentic self.